You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
Episode 11, and this is a spooky episode of the Ununited State. I'm Monique Leray Stinson, here with my co-host Francis Viggers in the UK. I'm in California. And how's it going, Francis? I dressed up. I'm Wednesday from the Addams Family.
Yeah, you look great. Yeah. Really good. Really good. I can be the hand.
I've got my spooky mug and I put some candy corns on it.
Yeah, you have, haven't you? Yeah, it's a very American thing, really, Halloween. I mean, when I was a kid, it wasn't big over here at all. And then as I've got older, it's all the shops are trying to sell all these plastic bits and pieces to kids for Halloween. And it's just another thing, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys celebrate in the fall? You do Thanksgiving or? Yeah, you do Thanksgiving, right?
No, we've got Guy Fawkes Night, 5th of November. So he was the man that tried to blow Parliament up. He spent a long time rolling barrels of gunpowder underneath the Houses of Parliament. And he was caught and he was tortured mercilessly and gave all his accomplices up. They were caught and tortured. And he was then hung, drawn and quartered. And he's what was left of him, the four pieces, were then thrown onto the fire. They have a bonfire. It's bonfire night, basically, 5th of November, fireworks, bonfire night. And when I was a kid, we used to build a guy. So we'd get some old clothes and we'd stuff them full of newspaper. And we would go and sit outside a pub with our guy, Guy Fawkes, with the hat or whatever, you know. And we'd say penny for the guy, you know, we'd try and get these. All these men that are coming out of the pub, you know, had a few pints, and it was an old tradition. So they used to give us money, not a lot, but you know, they'd give you like 1 or 2p or something, you know, penny for the guy. You don't see that anymore. That's gone. You don't see that anymore. That's all gone. No penny for the guy. No. Yeah. So I've lost you. I can't hear you. I think you're probably logging back in right now, but. That's our big thing in the winter, 5th of November. That's coming up quite close. But it's just, I think you've got your election, haven't you, on the 5th of November, which is fireworks night. You might have some fireworks of your own going off over there.
Hello.
Oh, righty. I'm back. Yes. Yes, you know, my laptop.
The hand
is back. Yeah, for some reason, the laptop doesn't like this browser, but now you can see my makeup a lot better. So you were sharing about a night that you guys have in London. And that sounds really spooky, by the way. And the fact that you guys chopped up his bits and then...
Well, that was the worst form of execution. It was held aside generally for traitors to the country. So if you were treasonous, you were hung, drawn, and quartered. So they'd hang you until you were nearly dead, but you weren't dead. And then the drawing bit is they would cut your stomach open and they'd pull all your intestines out while you're still alive, you know, witnessing your innards being pulled out. And then at the last minute, they'd start cutting you into four pieces with an axe, chop you up. So, yeah, it was pretty gruesome. Yeah, pretty.
That's gruesome. Pretty spooky. That's pretty gruesome and spooky and right in line with Halloween, I guess.
So if you tried to kill the king or one of the king's officers, if you were treasonous, that was the fate that could befall you. And it wasn't used that many times, actually, I don't think. It was really, really gruesome. You know, it was reserved for special cases.
Yeah. You're going after the king and you're going to make an example out of you, maybe?
Funny enough, one of the first laws that Tony Blair, when he came to power here, the Labour leader in 1997, one of the first laws that he rescinded, that he had struck off, was hanging for treason in the UK. And he then set about destroying the country. So, I wonder why he did that.
Right. Hung you guys in a different way, maybe. I'm not that versed in your politics, but I will say this about your system that I admire from across the pond, is that there is a level of taking it on the chin, as you guys would say. There's a level of, all right, people said I'm done. They voted me out. And there's no lollygagging?
Not sure, actually. Not sure.
There's no hesitation in taking what the people have said. People exit.
Oh, I see what you mean. You generally, the population here is pretty docile. I don't think they're going to be very docile anymore, though, moving forwards, because the demographic is changing and we're seeing, you know, more and more riots. Not really riots, but, you know, people protesting. And a lot of the people that we've got living here in this country now from parts of the world, you know, that are aligned with Palestine, and they're all going bananas, they're going nuts. So, there are reasons why, obviously, you know, I mean, I had my hair cut, and I might have mentioned this, but the barber just said, yeah, my family house has just been blown up in the Lebanon. So that's it, the house gone. No family home anymore. So, you know, I mean, you can see why, you know, people get really upset when they're having their homes completely destroyed, as well as their, you know, lives of loved ones taken as well, in what seems like a very unjust war. Horrific. It's very, very, it's terrible, really. But generally speaking, we're a docile bunch, really. That's the case of many countries that have had it good for quite some time. You know, people are quite comfortable, they don't really complain too much because they haven't really got that much to complain about compared to people in other parts of the world. And so they tend to just, you know, ride the waves out. I think there's some tsunamis coming inbound at the moment, never mind waves. So.
See how it goes. You know, guys, offline, to Francis's credit, we are in a group chat with the team here, and Jay's not, I don't know where Jay is, but hopefully he'll join us. He's a very in-demand real estate mortgage broker, as everybody knows. So the fact that he's making time for this, hi, Jay, we hope you can join us. But Francis does his research. He is always constantly keeping us up with the things he's, you know, taking in. And I really like that, Francis. I like that you are invested in finding out for yourself. You know, even some of the sources maybe We all have a little different way we do it, but you're consistent in that way. So when you're speaking about something, I know that you've at least done your independent research, you know? And I mean, what say you with the voting rights? Now, when is your election? Can you explain the process in the UK and how often and how does it work?
Well, you get a poll.
Can you
card
go full screen?
Yeah, I mean, well, you have to register with the local council to vote. And then once you're on the electoral roll, you'll then receive a poll card at a general election. And you have to take that poll card down with you to vote. That's it. So, you know, you're vetted ahead of time, you know, months in advance, you're vetted. I was just watching a video of a lady who's working at one of the polling stations in the United States, and she's found out that at a federal level, driving licenses have been mailed out to all of the illegal immigrants, aliens, whatever you like to call them, I suppose, really, that are in the United States, and the driving license, if you're the driving license is the appearance of them differs from state to state. Is what she was implying, and that the driving licenses that are being mailed out will look exactly the same in the state that you're working at the polling station. So a non-US citizen can go in, show a driving license, and say, I want to vote. And it's then up to her to question whether they are actually a US citizen or not. And they would have to then provide further proof, and it's up to her whether she accepts it or not. But if they can't give any proof, then it goes down as a probationary vote, and it will be determined at the latest point on the 12th of November, and that the person who's voting has up until the 12th of November to go in back into the polling station and prove with some documentation that they actually are a US citizen. But all they need is a utility bill or something like that, which they can get put in their name and go in. So,
So I like that you're doing this. Let me just say, I had a situation last election where I went from LA County to Orange County here, which isn't far, and I use a PO box because I'm in the media. I really like to keep my personal life separate from my business life. And I'm a single gal. So I use my PO box as a physical address. All my driver's license has my PO box, not my home address.
Yeah.
But I was able to bring my driver's license, and they did the same thing with me. And I'm born here. I was born in 78. So I'm born here. So what I did was they followed up. They sent the form. I sent what was needed. This election, because of all the riffraff that people are having, I'm bringing my passport, my social security card, my utility bill, and my pre-registration card when I walk in my driver's license. So I'm bringing four forms of ID, and there is a follow-up due process. Now, the trick is, the gag is, because, we do have fake IDs. That's been going on since kids have been trying to get beer, in high school. That's been going on forever.
But what can combat
that here is when you get a utility bill, you have to provide your social security number, your naturalization card, whatever you call it, when you're born with the identification. Yeah. So that has to match myself. And because of technology, you can scan that and you can bounce that off with TransUnion, Equifax, our credit bureaus. So you can't just get a utility, something in your name, without using your social security. So there are ways to combat and cushion that. But again, you do a probational vote, or I don't know the correct term. I think you had it. But there is follow-up, and they send you a letter. And they send you a letter in the mail to that address, and they ask for further verification. If you can't provide it, your vote's thrown out, from my understanding. There's guardrail.
What makes a U.S. citizen? I mean, at what point are you considered a bona fide, valid US citizen that has now obtained the right to vote? It's a bit like the Roman Empire. You're either a free man or you're a slave. There's the kind of like, there's no in the middle. Somebody either owned you, doesn't matter what colour you are or where you're from, because they had slaves from all around the empire, all different colours. But a free man could possibly have the vote back then. I think it's only the senators that voted on things, so I don't think the people had the vote back then. They didn't trust.
Well,
them.
We have the electoral. we have a very antiquated system called the Electoral College that, you know, in certain states, only a certain amount of electors. Even though, like, I'm in a blue state, I'm in a Democrat state, but there's Republican patches. So, you know, it's all about how many electors in each state represent our collective vote, not our popular vote. So yeah. We are working on getting that antiquated system out so that no matter what, each, you know, matter if you, so Orange County is a little bit more red and Republican. So the, a lot of people here will vote for Trump. Now, I live in a liberal bubble with art, gay rights. You know, I feel safer here. I'm in Laguna and we're more libertarian because of the arts and the gay culture. You know, but we are we're a minority bubble within a red county. In Los Angeles, it's going to skew more blue. So, you know, really just, it's a mishmash. It really should just be, I think we could learn from you guys how to eloquently exit if your peers and yeah. Society have voted you out. There's no need to delay what the people have chosen. It just costs us more money. I do believe in recounting. I don't believe in recounting so many times that it costs taxpayers a lot of money. But yeah. If there is, you know, probable cause to recount, why not just to secure it? But I want to show you something. So while I grab this, I would like Francis to tee it up for us on some of the research that you found and just share, you know, let's do about 5 minutes of you sharing some of the research you found while I tee this up. So let's go full screen on Francis.
What, on voting? Yeah, I mean, I basically don't watch TV anymore over here. So if anyone in the United States, I mean, over here you have Sky, you have BBC, ITV, but I don't watch any of those. Wouldn't give them the time of day anymore, to be quite honest. So yeah, I mean, I tend to spend a lot of time on X, actually. That's become a bit of a favourite. YouTube channels, certain people that follow stories closely. Russia-Ukraine war. There's a channel called The Duran, where they discuss that for up to about an hour, at least every other day or every third day, so you get an update with that, and they cover the political aspect of that as well. It's quite, you know, that's another interesting point about it. But yeah, X is my go-to for short stories, short clips, short updates on things, simply because it's not censored. So I would always go there. Yeah, I mean, there's some very relevant people on there. So I was... Yeah, that's me. I mean, I don't know what it's like in the States. I don't know these kind of like legacy cable companies, you know, these big news networks that you always see on. They're always, you know, when you watch a movie at home, the family's always got the news on in the background. You know, whenever I used to travel years ago, I used to be abroad and you put the news on it. The American stations would always be part of the package that the hotel had. And yeah, it's kind of like a form of entertainment, really. I mean, but I just think they've just lost so much credibility. I mean, the BBC here has just lost so much credibility. I mean, it's just they're losing their license payers, because over here you've got to pay to have a TV license, and that all that money goes to the BBC, even if you don't watch them, it goes to them.
So that would cause me to. Now I understand your point of view a little bit better that you shared that, because, you know, when we have these conversations, we can understand each other better. That would give me pause. If you have to pay to get a TV license and only certain networks are giving you their points of view, that makes me kind of like, well, they have a monopoly on what you're receiving.
Yeah, but you're quite often you're just being fed a string of lies and you're paying for it as well. It's just ridiculous.
You're like, who's the jerk now?
They're so politically biased, it's unbelievable. Anyway, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are now, you know, not paying, possibly millions, not paying the BBC license fee. Just had enough of it. Just and there's so much alternative content. You don't need to have a TV anymore anyway. You can just have a tablet or a laptop, and you can get all the content that you want from world-class commentators. You know, these are professors, these are lecturers, these are, you know, people that go and give advice at the UN. You know, they talk at United Nations all the time. They're invited by leaders of the G7 to go and speak to them. And these guys are saying, what the hell's going on in the world? You know, I mean, and you go on the mainstream news channels and you don't get that. You know, you just get the narrative, the political narrative at the time. And it changes very quickly as well. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see the whole Ukraine thing turn around. I don't know who they're going to blame, but I don't know if you've seen pictures of Zelensky recently, but he looks like he's been dragged through a bush backwards, hasn't slept for about a month. He looks terrible. I don't think he's going to be there for very long somehow. I don't know whether he's going to be exiled or, you know, assassinated internally. God knows what's going to happen.
I hope not. I don't wish any death on anyone. You don't either.
Hundreds of thousands of his own people to the front to be killed. So if it happens to him, it's just another number. You know,
That's one perspective. But the kind of the vibe I got with that was that people were willing to fight for their country. And it didn't take a lot, you know.
Well, it doesn't look that way when they're being rounded up. They're being press ganged into the back of vans and they're fighting with their wives and grabbing the men and pushing them into the back of a jeep to take them off to the front. Doesn't look that way to me at all.
Again,
you know, you won't hear that on the mainstream media, and if that's all you listen to, you know what I'm saying would be a shock to you. You would not have heard it.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
No,
they're winning. What's he talking about? No. I was told yesterday that they're winning. They're winning. You know. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you know what? I like that you're a critical thinker and you're looking at it from different points of view. We will get into that topic on one of our episodes next week. We're going to talk about the candidates for president in the United States, but we will touch on Ukraine and Russia in our another episode following, because that is an important episode. And I will tell you, I was near the region when the war started.
Yeah.
I was doing one disaster film and another disaster happened and I was literally in the region. And I have a friend, shout out to Marius Rickus. He's a humanitarian attorney. He travels around the world. He's from Norway. And he had boots on the ground at the border. And they brought a big van that said love from Norway to Ukraine. And I was getting firsthand accounts from him. I even entertained going. I don't have kids. Of course, I want to be here, but, you know, you do the risk reward. But I figured there were so many people covering it with bigger budgets and stronger lawyers.
The money that's been spent in Ukraine is off the scale. We're talking billions and billions and billions. And anybody that you know, I mean, I know somebody at the beginning of the conflict, they jumped in a van and they drove over there with a load of secondhand clothes to give to people, thinking that they were doing the right thing. And our governments were sending tens of billions over there as if a van full of secondhand clothes is going to make any difference. You know, I mean, it's just, but that's how people think. They just, that's how they think, you know. It's,
Well, we're going to get back to the voting thing and we will touch Ukraine, Russia, because that deserves a whole segment, right? And we're going to, and I know you're very well studied. So I wanted to share this with the listeners and viewers. This is what the official election. Okay, so this is a voter registration, pre-registration application. I got many of them in the mail straight to where it needed to go.
Okay,
it looks like this. It's what's good about it is it's got an identification number on the bottom. You fill it out, you pull it off, and then you get one of these. So I had multiple of them. And then you have a registrar's, it identifies you. I'll cover up my address here, but it gives you a voter ID number and it gives you who it's from and a QR code on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have your number, your QR code right here. And then on the back, okay, so there's multiple things that happen. Then you get these cards that are sent to your house. People drop them off personally. We have you know, handwritten notes.
Yeah.
Drop to my, you know, from every party.
Yeah. Get the same. Get the same.
You get all of these things, and you can read up. And I've had nonstop texts. But I want to just share here today. I don't know if you know this. I don't think I shared this. I applied for a job to help with media and marketing and one of the candidates' campaigns. And to my delight and surprise, and I'll probably print this out and frame it because it's just kind of cool because you know that there's thousands and thousands of people that could have been selected. And I got selected as a finalist to work on one of the campaigns. And I thought that was cool. Whether or not you like my candidate, just to be seen and be considered was great. I didn't get any follow-up after, but it was really cool to be selected as a finalist or to go to the next level.
Yeah.
And I want to share with you, and we have 7 minutes until the show is done because we have to go, but I'll give you the last half to do closing remarks. But allow me to say, it's not as scary as people are portraying it, because you're a believer in independent media and going and finding out, and so am I. I feel fully confident, like any business, like anything else, there are going to be things that fall through. But I've seen the process and I've seen the people step up. There's a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, a Green Party. There's a representative from each party overlooking each other. They cross and they check each other's work. Yeah. And I like that. It's a community of keeping people accountable. I don't feel that if my candidate for some reason does not win, I do not feel like we have a rigged system. I don't feel like there's a lot of, I feel like we can always improve anything. But as far as you're talking about illegal people, or not only to say that, but people who are undocumented, or coming over here to do harm and not to do the process right. I think that, of course, there are people that way, and people do target our system because we're pretty fair in all things. We still have a lot of work to do. But there are people who were born here, their parents came over, and they were born here, and there's just a broken system for them to, they pay taxes here. They work here. They do the jobs that they garden. And I don't want to just put one group in a box, but there's some jobs that
Mexicans then basically, yeah,
not Mexicans, just that, not just Mexicans, but a lot of people who are from the
South
Latin
Americans, Mexicans, some
agricultural jobs and some construction. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that contribute to our economy and pay taxes, but there's not a way to a good way to get them where they are acting as a citizen. They were born here, but they don't have the right paperwork, and I don't think that those people are considered bad or trying to game the system. I think that they didn't have a choice where their mother and father dropped them off when they were born, and they've been acting as a good, positive, part of our community. So we have to make a way for them to be seen and be able to vote and it be correct. What do you think?
Nope, they were talking about that, weren't they? Legalizing all of the
dreamers.
I don't know if you call them illegal aliens or irregulars.
Well, no, we don't call them that. They're called dreamers. They're called dreamers.
Dreamers, okay.
Yeah, because they were born here and they dreamed to be seen as someone that was born here with papers.
Okay, but they're not being actively hunted down with the threat of being thrown out of the United States back across the Mexican border, though, are they?
That's not happening at all anywhere
in the country, is it, as far as I can see?
No. Yeah, no, a lot of people are targeting these people and they lay low. And so, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I think some people are bold about it and some people lay low, but they are being taxed and they are working and contributing to our economy, our GDP here, but they're not seen and heard like I am or Jay is.
Right. So, they're still very wary and probably a little bit afraid of one day immigration knocking at the door and saying, have you got the right to stay here, be here, work here? You know, you don't have the right to a work permit. Why are you working? I think that, this is just my view, but after everything that's gone on recently with the people crossing the border and... the quality of the people they haven't really come to do an honest day's work, you know, a lot of them. It's quite horrific, the stories that you're seeing and hearing. I don't know. I mean, if Trump, okay, let's make the assumption Trump wins and he's pledged to round all the illegals up and throw them out of the United States. Is he going to go further? Is he going to, you know, basically get a hold of the people that you're talking about that may have been here for, let's say, a 25-year-old man that was born in the United States and he's been working for since he was 15, let's say, right? So doing gardening and stuff. Been working for 10 years paying taxes. Should he be rounded up and thrown out of the United States? Well, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think it would come to that. But I'm not saying it's an impossibility.
I think it would. But, you know, I think it would. Because the rhetoric says so. And I watched this person's
Think what you have to remember is that Trump was in power for 4 years. And I don't know, did he do that then? I don't know. What did he do?
Well, according to the plan that's being put forth, is they're ratcheting it up a bit because we'll have to do a deeper dive. But let's end this with Francis giving us, we only have a minute left, Francis. So why don't you give us a word of encouragement from, if the Queen were here, what would the Queen say to America in our voting, or what do you feel from the Brits? We got 1 minute. Give us some encouragement and some kind words here.
What the Queen say to the United States? I've got no idea. I mean, I don't think she would, you know, she would just give words of encouragement and warmth and you know, like she always did with everything, really. I mean, she was incredibly diplomatic lady. I don't know how many prime ministers came and went, you know, under her reign, but I don't know, let's just say 15-20, I don't know, something like that. And some of them would have done things that she really didn't like, and, you know, some of them would have done things that she did like, but she tried to stay out of politics completely, and as far as I can see, I think she did. But her son Charles, who's in at the moment, he's a meddler. He likes to get involved.
Well, we'll leave it right there. And Francis, we love your across the pond opinion. Happy early Halloween, everybody. If you didn't guess, I am Wednesday from the Addams Family with my hand cup. And Francis Vigors is there. Next week, we are going to get right to go in the lion's den and discuss the American presidential race. That will be a couple days before we vote. So it'll be next week. And this is what we've been building up for. Hopefully Jay will be here to join us. Everybody be safe, be kind. Francis, I'll be seeing you soon after our show on Sunday across the pond. And we're going to do some cool things there for the show. Okay. Thank you for being here, Francis.
Yeah, that's no problem at all. Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you. Nice.
See you soon, okay?
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.